So we're looking at the Lord's Prayer through these summer weeks. And we said last week that really the Lord's Prayer, I don't think, was meant to be so much said, you know, directly to just kind of repeat it, but rather that it's a pattern for us, for our prayers, that each of the lines sort of points us to things that we should include in our prayers. And we spoke last week about how the Lord's Prayer can be illustrated by seeing it a bit like a country house. I don't know if you can see that outline very well, but that each line of the prayer is like a room in that house or palace. Each part of the prayer being represented by a different room. We started off in the throne room, or the main reception room of the house, where we come face to face with the owner. It's God, isn't it, that we must come through. It's him who receives us, that we can't have access, as it were, to the rest of the house without first acknowledging him. And we saw how the death of Jesus for us as sinners gives us free access to come to that God in prayer. And we noticed how our model prayer starts with prayers about God and who he is, and not prayers about self that we're inclined to launch straight into. But that first we're seeking God's honour, seeking his plan, his purpose, above our own. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, honoured, be glorified, get the glory to your name, Father, that you deserve. This God we're speaking to is the great I Am. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is a mighty and all-powerful God, and yet he is an immanent God. He is a sovereign God, but he is a God who wants a relationship with us as our Father. He is a just God who must deal with sin, and yet he is a merciful God who offers us a restored relationship through his Son, Jesus. He is a God who is jealous for his own honour, and we should be jealous for his honour. He is high and holy, but he is also Father, Daddy, as it were, to us. And in calling for his name to be hallowed, we are seeking his honour and his glory. But having honoured God in this way and sought his glory, we are not yet ready to move into the man-centered praying that we're so prone to do. So we're moving this morning out of the throne room, out of the direct worship to God, and we're moving, as it were, into the drawing room or the lounge, okay? Where we are looking further into God-centered praying, where we're considering his plans and his purpose for our world and our lives. And we're saying here, aren't we? Let's hear this prayer from Matthew 6 again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're thinking about this morning. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to begin by reading Revelation 21, verse 1 to 4. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so I see first here an eternal application to this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. I wonder if this is the picture of God's kingdom coming that you've got in your mind. As a child, I grew up in a church of over 400 people. It was big. There was a balcony, and then there, at the back of the balcony was this huge organ with a curtain behind it. And overarching the organ and the pulpit were the words, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." That's what it said. And I can remember feeling incredibly intimidated, almost frightened by those words as a child. I had visions of Jesus emerging from behind the curtain, behind the organ. Wondered what actually sort of lived in there. When was he coming? And what would it mean? Well, I believe that God has promised a kingdom, hasn't he? After all, he himself is the sovereign king of the entire universe. And I believe in his first coming to earth, Jesus came to establish his kingdom. But that kingdom that is here on earth and operating on the earth has not yet fully been realized. And we need to consider the fact that Satan has dominion, doesn't he, in this earth over many people's lives. And it's been like that since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that Satan has a power and an influence in our world. But Jesus came and he defeated Satan at the cross, and the devil's stranglehold on our world has been broken, and Jesus is claiming back his world, and nothing will stop his purpose. He will come and take complete control once again. Satan is like a fatally wounded animal in the last death throes, and we're living in the in-between times between the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the decisive event of his coming again. He is going to come in a visible, physical return that every living creature will see. And we're told that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess who he is. And he will come to judge the world. But this also means a consummation of all things. Sometimes described as the bridegroom coming to meet his bride, the church, to be joined together as one forever. So when we pray, your kingdom come, at one level, I think we're praying, aren't we? Jesus, come and reign. Come and reign eternally on the throne of your ancestor David, as you promised. Come and completely establish your kingdom. We would be part of a new heaven and a restored earth, a place of eternal peace and perfection. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, come and establish that kingdom. Are you looking forward to that day? Do you know that you're going to be a part of it? There's only one way that you can be a part of it, and that's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's to admit your sin, to admit your need, to ask him to be your Lord and Savior, to bring you into a living relationship with Father God through his death on the cross. Do you know that you belong there? I must say, I'm looking forward to it very much. And an old hymn expresses this longing well. Didn't dare to attempt to sing it, but I'm going to read you the words. I am waiting for the dawning of that bright and glorious day, when the darksome night of sorrow shall have vanished far away, when forever with the Saviour, far beyond this veil of tears, I shall swell the hymn of worship through the everlasting years. I am looking at the brightness, see it shineth from afar, of the clear and joyous beaming of the bright and morning star that describes Jesus. Through the dark grey mist of morning, I behold its glorious light. Then away with every shadow of this sad and weary night. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord who died for me. Oh, his words have thrilled my spirit. I will come again for thee. Faith can almost hear Christ's footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore. Amen. Now, all that is true. But if we're honest, for many of us, it's sometimes easier to live with the known world, isn't it, than to live with all those thoughts of what's going to be, because it's just so out there and beyond us. With all its imperfections, we kind of cling to what we're familiar with. If only we could start to grasp how wonderful the full extent of God's kingdom, what it's going to be like. Jesus, your kingdom come. But I believe that there is more to this prayer than simply praying for the end times and Jesus coming to establish a physical kingdom on earth. When we think of kingdoms, we tend to think of geographical territory, don't we? Like this, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. It's a land. It's a territory. But I believe that there's more to this than Jesus just coming physically to take his rule over a territory. I believe that there's a present application here, a spiritual application. And part of that application is on a personal level here and now. So we're talking about a personal application here. Your kingdom come is saying, Jesus, come and reign over my life. You wear the crown. You be in residence. I've had enough of me being in charge because I mess it up all the time. Jesus, you come into my life and have your will and your purpose. You reign in my life. And if we look at Matthew 6 and verse 25 to 33, we see something of this here. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not so much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. Do they not labor or spin? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are we told to concern ourselves with? The kingdom of God. Seek his kingdom. God's kingdom now should be higher on our list of priorities than even our basic essentials of food and clothing and shelter being met. And that actually is the order, isn't it, of the Lord's Prayer here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it gets on to give us our daily bread. That's the order. God's kingdom first. So in effect, when we're praying, we're saying, have your way in my life, and then I'll trust you, God, to give me what I need. So often I think we're inclined to get it the wrong way round and say, God, this is how I've decided to live, and this is what I want to do. This is my agenda. Will you please bless me in it? But being a Christian is not just about receiving the free gift of salvation, no matter how important that is, as represented by the communion. It's all about submitting ourselves to the lordship of Christ, isn't it? To his kingdom rule in our lives. And here's an illustration. Husbands, here this morning, have you told your wife you love them lately? Probably for most of us, not enough. So let's try it. Look her in the eyes and say, I'm a long way away, so it's okay. You are the most beautiful woman in the world. I love you with an unending love. Now run along, dear, and get my tea. And don't forget, it's my birthday next week. No, it isn't. How's she going to react to that? Surely she would say, hang on, you've just told me you love me, and now you're just going into what you want. How about asking me what I want if you say you love me so much? Rather than telling me what you would like, how about finding out what I would like in life? I'm in for trouble when I get home. Our prayer life can be rather like that with God. You're really great, God. You're an amazing God. I love you, God. I'm singing my worship to you, God. I want you to get the glory to your name, God, and all of that. But please just help me get what I want. But this model prayer won't let us go straight out of the throne room into the kitchen. Okay? That's not allowed. We can't just go for the give us our daily bread. You have to pass through the drawing room to get to the kitchen. You have to seek God's interests first, his will and his purpose. Then he'll take care of your daily needs. So there's an eternal application to this prayer. Come, Lord, bring your glorious kingdom here to earth. And there's a personal application of this. Come and reign, Lord, on the throne of my life. Finally, this morning, there is a global application here and now, isn't there? There is a global application here and now, and it concerns the spread of Christianity. It concerns the spread of God's influence in our world today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when we consider heaven, there is absolutely nothing but obedience going on in heaven, is there? The will of God is being completely fulfilled there. It's a place of perfection. And so we are praying in this prayer that the earth would be filled with the influence of God, with people doing the will of Creator God, just as it is in heaven. That God's influence would be spreading tremendously in our world. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Wouldn't that be tremendous? That the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God And to some extent, we see that happening, don't we, as the gospel goes out to people and tribes and nations. And so we need to be praying for that world mission to be successful, that the nations might be saturated with the truth of Christ, that it will come and affect public life and laws. And boy, do we need it in our country just now. We're heading into a week of who knows what, with who knows what who in charge, and what a mess we're in. Lord, your kingdom come and influence our nation again. And locally, Lord, your kingdom come to the Maidenhall estate through this church, through your influence here. Spread your kingdom through our community. As we close this morning, I just want to take you to my home city of Bristol, because I'm always talking about it. And in August, for a few days, the city becomes a blaze of colour. And what's actually happening is this. Become filled with these beautiful balloons, filled with hot air. What was just laid flat on the ground rises to be a light. To me, that is just a picture, really, of what God can do in our lives. God can come and fill us flat, without hope. Lift up by His Holy Spirit and to change us into something that is useful for Him, that can influence in our community, that can go on to influence other parts of the world.
Come on, we can go away.
Watch the
picture.
Help us to walk in it. Please come, Lord. Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom reign in my life. Amen.